heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So you all remember that scene in Washington, D.C., when Uncle Donald went to Washington, right? And it's a scene I'll never forget. It's etched in my mind. It may very well be etched in your mind. But you remember when Paul Ryan went out on the balcony to show Uncle Donald, D.C., where some things were, where some of the points of interest were from the office there? And it just was a moment that captured my mind to think, wow, talk about an outsider, you know? I mean, he didn't even really know where some of the furniture was there. And that was kind of refreshing for a lot of us to see that, well, we had somebody who was outside of the riffraff there, somebody that was bringing, hopefully, a fresh perspective to the order of the day because, you know, we've had some troubles in recent years. Let's just say it's been a tough 10, 20 years here due to these previous administrations, you know, both Bush and Obama, I would say to you. But I remember that scene, and it just reminded me of how unique this was going to be, that this new president, Donald Trump, Uncle Donald, I like to call him, right? I mean, that he was now in D.C. on the balcony, and Paul Ryan was pointing out, of course, at that time, he maybe folks didn't realize that Paul Ryan was part of the problem. He was part of clearly the establishment there, which is why he, like a lot of them, have left like the cockroaches in the middle of the night, both Democrats and Republicans trying to flee the wrath of Uncle Donald up there, draining the swamp. You could just see him going up there now with, you know, kind of shovels, got the overalls on for a moment. He's got the things over there, going to clean out Washington, D.C., get the swamp drained a bit here. You know, a lot of people have said this kind of thing. We've heard that over the years, but nobody has ever acted on it. Nobody, because quite frankly, whatever a politician runs on, a candidate runs on, is it exactly what they don't, fulfill. I mean, the promises is what I'm speaking of. You know, they hardly ever fulfill the commitments they make to the American people. Pretty sad. Well, this was a new day, though, and a new order, people. Here was a president who was going to fulfill these responsibilities, commitments, promises. You know, there's something remarkable in old school thinking when you can make a handshake and fulfill the promise you told somebody you were going to do something. Isn't that kind of refreshing, actually? Yeah, I think it is, too. You don't see that a lot anymore, but you do see it with Uncle Donald, though. He does put it out there in such a way, you know. So what we're doing here, friends, is this two-part series, Democrats' Secret Battlefield Election Strategy. And this is with our dear friend and ally, Colonel Jim Warshak, and he will be on the program today as well. You heard him in the first part of this. Now, if you missed the first part of the program, you want to go listen when that all gets to podcast, if you're hearing this on America Out Loud Talk Radio. But you want to hear both parts in their entirety. You want to listen to both hours, and you'll be better informed for it, and you'll be out there on the battlefield yourself telling folks what's going on. So here's what I think. I want to get right to the point now of what I believe the secret battlefield election strategy is. I think we can all agree at this point, whatever your political stripe is that there are people who just simply don't like Donald Trump. They despise Donald Trump, but it's more than that, people. That's just a soundbite. These people really despise America much more than Donald Trump, you see. He's just in the flippin' way. Does that make sense to you? Just in the way. That's all he is. Yeah. What they really despise is America. That's what they hate. Now, I'm not just saying that. I mean, just look at the evidence out in front of us now. I mean, the line to me was January as we came into the new year. You see, so, all right, so let's figure this out now. So the end of December, the country was looking pretty hot. I mean, we started hearing some of these rumblings about some sort of a weird virus in China. I remember the reports and thinking, oh, that's kind of odd, weird, strange, but yeah, ain't going to impact us here. I mean, I don't think so. Well, I would have never guessed that we were going to lock down the country at that moment, I have to tell you, but clearly that's what happened, didn't it, now? And we all paid a price for that and still paying the price and going to pay the price for the next couple of years, probably. And it'll probably take a decade or more to get over this bad hiccup, to be honest with you, which is why it's going to be so critical we have the right commander-in-chief in there for this next term, for sure. It's a pivotal moment of America's history. But you remember back there in December where things were ticking. I mean, we had one of the best robust economy. So imagine if you're a Democrat or you're a socialist Democrat, which is really who they are, sitting at home on the sofa there watching this thing or in the office, and you're seeing that, wow, I mean, how are we going to take this guy down? How do we get rid? I mean, you talk about a cat with nine lives. How many lives does Donald Trump have? I mean, he's on like, 52, 53 right now or something like that with the scandals? I mean, come on, people. Oh, how many lives does he have? Certainly more than the cat. Cat only had nine. I mean, Uncle Donald, he has a whole boatload, man, you know. But they just keep firing away at the president here. So, you know, so if you look, I look at January, coming into January as the line of demarcation. That's the line in the sand right there. That is when, friends, the Democrats figured that, well, you know what? I mean, we've tried everything now. We've tried everything on Teflon Don here. How the hell are we going to get him out of there, you know? Well, then when they started hearing about this very handy-dandy, wonderful, fabulous little COVID virus coming out of China, well, shit, that looks real handy. We'll jump on that wagon, and we'll see what we can do with that. And so, and how high are the stakes, people? Well, I mean, you got to figure. I mean, I'm not going to bore you with all the details to know what happened in the last 3.5 years. I mean, let's not insult your intelligence. I'm sure you're aware that there's been a few things about the Russians and the collusions and the obstruction of justice and the Amendment 25. And people, there are so many scandals. The Ukraine deal, it goes on and on and on. And like I said, it's probably 52, 53 at this point. Could be 82 or 83. But I'm not really sure. I've lost count, quite frankly. You probably have too. But it's certainly more than nine. I'll tell you that. So you take it from that vantage point, like I said, back to coming into January here, okay? So everything had happened before then. And these people were like, man, we can't shake this guy. I mean, we just can't get at him. We'll try the taxes. We'll go through the city of New York. We'll try the Stormy thing. We'll try the prostitution thing. We'll try the, you know, we don't like the cornflakes the guy eats in the morning. I mean, you got to really, they do get, if you're going to give them a grade on their report card, they would surpass an A+ for the skill set of trying to remove this president from office. Of course, it's all failed, so there you give him an F, right? I mean, all the way through the whole impeachment scandal. We don't know why we're impeaching him. We just know we are. We just know we got to get him the hell out of there. Now, why are they so worried and fearful to get Trump out of office? You have to begin to look at the chess game and figure this out, people. Why is that? I mean, why? I mean, there are multiple and a myriad of reasons here, and we'll get into them, believe me. I mean, let's start with the fact that, you know, you've got probably two more Supreme Court picks coming in the next 4 years, probably. We don't really know, but that's a good guess, I think, you know. Now, considering that, people, if you get two conservative picks on the court there, you know what that means, don't you? That means we're back to where the framers were. We're back. The Marxists have lost probably 35 years. We've lost the Obama, the Bush, the Clinton, the Bush years, all gone, all headed to a Marxist socialist nation. So they really lost about 30 years, at least, probably more than that, you know? So that's what that would mean, because now you'd have a conservative court, because, you know, and that's hard sometimes to even know, because you see the games that people like John Roberts plays, what he does. You really don't know some of these cats. You put them in there thinking they love the Constitution, thinking that they understand who the framers were, thinking that they would honor the Constitution. But then it doesn't always work out that way, does it now? because they think they have to play to the other side is what it is. It really is. They think they have to give something to the other side, and then they're at the point of legislating from the bench, which is what they do in all the courts, man, is they don't understand how this is supposed to work, right? So thinking of all of that, so I'm thinking here now. So you've got here this whole setup of get Trump, a constant beat of the drum. Nothing's working, right? All these things have failed. So now what do we got to do? Well, we got the COVID thing coming. That's one big thing we can use. That's a big advantage. And then we'll take this, you know, this boneheaded officer in Minneapolis, Floyd, who had this incident that blew up because racism is something the socialist Democrats love, just love to exploit. They love to exploit Black Americans that are brothers and sisters on this. They love to exploit ethnic groups. They love to exploit men and women, too, with gender and Me Too. And they love to exploit, you know, politicals. I mean, they're just really brilliant at that. That's what they do all day long. They keep splitting it, you know. That is the election strategy. So now they took advantage of that with the cancel culture. You know, well, it's peaceful protest. Let them be kids. Let kids be kids. Let Americans be Americans. Let them. We don't need those statues anymore. We don't need the. Well, we need the presidents. No, we don't need the presidents. Blow up Mount Rushmore. The hell with it all, right? Ulysses C. Grant. Why do we need Ulysses? We don't need Grant. Get rid of him, man. Well, we don't need any of these people. Just get rid of them all. Christopher Columbus. They've been chopping his head off. I mean, Christopher Columbus must be rolling around in his grave somewhere, I'm sure. I mean, he's been decapitated more than I think anybody probably in history at this moment here. They keep decapitating him all the time there from sea to sea, right? I mean, his for whatever the reason is, well, I tell you what the reason is, because supposedly he discovered, that's what the history books say, right? He discovered the America dream. I mean, he discovered who we were here when he came in, right, from Spain. Is that what happened with Columbus? So that's one good reason to hate Columbus right there, asshole. I mean, come on, you know, he discovered this whole thing, this beautiful paradise. That's one reason they want to get rid of Columbus, because he sort of, you know, we all grew up with that, realizing that he was just a figure of what America was. I mean, it really is. I mean, you think about, you know, baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet, Christopher Columbus. Hell, we all know that. I mean, even people that weren't paying attention know that. Right? That's it. So he's a target, and they're all a target. Everything is a target today. So they embrace the cancel culture, the peaceful protest, which, you know, and of course, the news is right along with us now, the media. So they're not showing what's really going on. They're not showing the real hard damage. But they're, you know, trying to market as peaceful protests as they're really destroying our cities. I mean, which has been building for a long time. And then they're on the defund police departments, and they're on the abolished police departments, and crime is just escalating in all of our cities, right? And here's the thing. So they're embracing all of that. And here's what really stinks about all this. I mean, people, think about, you know, a couple of years back. Remember when we used to talk about 2020? And we thought, it's going to be kind of cool to get into 2020, you know, hey, perfect vision. It's going to be a hell of a year. I remember talking about that back in, you know, 16, 17, 18. We were kind of looking forward to the marketing spin of 2020. It was going to be a unique year, we all thought. I mean, we really thought this. Perfect vision. Hopefully perfect vision in all of our lives. Perfect vision for America. I mean, that was the whole idea of 2020. We could see, right? We could see in a good way. And boy, have we fallen far from that tree, huh? Sad. Really, really sad. So you take a look at what I call the secret battlefield election strategy. So what's happened, people, is in, you know, they simply know, they knew, they understood, they absolutely got it that America was behind this president. Americans were behind not only the president, but they love America. They love our nation, our beloved nation. Absolutely. And that scared the hell out of the socialist Democrats, because that meant that he would get another 4 years. And now, since you've been trying, pulling everything out of your bag of tricks, What more do you have left? Well, you get into a room and you figure out we're going to have to embrace this China virus. What a blessing that is for us with Xi Jinping and all, to be so kind to, let this circulate around the world, but shut it down in China so they can minimize the damage there, but not minimize the damage around the rest of the world in America and Europe to bring down the West. All right, so let's embrace that. That's a good idea, sure. And then let's embrace the cancel culture, the defund the police department. And now you see they're and they're throwing it in your face now. You see the Mayor Bowser out of D.C. paints, defund the police and Black Lives Matter in the streets all over the place. Now you see they're doing it in New York, right outside of Trump Tower. De Blasio is painting that. So, we can only hope that Americans in those cities are going to stand up and say, no, that's not acceptable. And it's a game. It's just a game that's being played here. And sadly, it's being played at our expense, people. I mean, and a big expense it is, as they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So then you have to ask yourself, how far can they push? How far can they push the American people? How damn far can they push the American people before the American people stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to have it anymore? Does that happen now in 2020, or does the nation need more pain? Do we need more pain? Do you require more pain? Do your friends on the left require more pain, I'm wondering? When does that happen, friends? Does it happen now, or does it happen at some other future time? I mean, how low do we go? How bad does it get, right? Everybody knows the game here. The left knows the game. The right knows the game. The communists know the game. Everybody knows the game. Everybody. It's not a secret. The only thing I'm doing today is pointing it out to you that this is the Democrats' secret battlefield election strategy, because people, they are going to pull out every stop they can to make sure they win 2020. Now they're talking about no debates. They're talking about all kinds of things with Joe Blow there, I mean, now they're talking about everything, right? It's whatever it takes. They've got him locked down and sheltered down because they know. I mean, how are they going to keep that together? It's like, it's like a science project. You're glued together with Elmer's glue. You just hope like hell it stays together for that special science project day, because if it comes apart, you're screwed. That's where the Democrats are with this whole thing with Joe Biden. You see, they got them all glued together, hoping like hell and trying to keep them looking good. And yet we know that sadly in his elder years, this man is not good. He's not able to govern by any stretch. And in regardless of his current health state, people, this is a guy that he resembles the swamp. He is the swamp. I mean, how can you be anywhere for 40 years and not become part of it? Come on, people. Who the hell are we kidding here? You think he's got a fresh idea somewhere? Get out of here. Guy's got nothing. Nothing. He would have solved something 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, maybe 5 years ago when he was vice president. What the hell do you think Joe Biden's got to offer? He's a snake oil salesman, him and Barack. Which brings me to a lot of what we'll talk about today with Colonel Warshak, with this Barack guy. Because all roads lead to Mr. Barack there, Barack Obama. And I'm not even going to, say Barack Hussein Obama, just to draw out the Hussein to tell you he's a Marxist. Because you don't need to put his middle name in there to understand he's a Marxist. He's a Marxist. There's only one other way you can get President Trump out of there. And they've tried that to a few other presidents, which we'll leave nameless right now, okay? But you can connect those dots. That's the only other way you get 45 out of there. And don't think that hasn't crossed their mind either, the rotten bastards, right? How much can you try? How long do you go with this thing before you admit the truth? Nobody wants to talk about the truth. And you don't get any truth from anybody. You don't get it from political people. You don't get it from the media. You don't get it from anybody. But come on, people. Am I saying anything that's foreign here? Where am I wrong on the points here? The only thing they can do, people, is try to look at little things on the ground. You know, the little things, you know, what about his taxes? What about his sex life? What about this? What about that? Like, somehow we've got to elect the perfect human being to high office. And the rest of us are just have a godly life. We're all magnificent, clean. We've done nothing in our lives. We're just perfect specimens of human beings, but Donald's not. But we're going to hold Donald to that standard because that's the way we got to do it, right? I mean, what's wrong with that picture, I wonder? And all these clowns, what, did you know he did that? He had sex with somebody back in 68. Good God. He said that in 74. Man, the guy wants to pay less taxes. What the hell's the matter with this guy? It is just a joke and a half, isn't it really now? Is the light shining bright enough for you at the moment? Is it shining exactly where it needs to be, people? Do you see where we're at here? This is the election strategy to win 2020 now. So your whole COVID shutdown, mask wearing, close the schools, get back in your rooms and be little boys and girls and wear a mask and wipe your ass and so on and so forth. Who do you thank for that, I wonder? Can you imagine? Exploit the numbers, push the models up. Everybody's dying. We got a catastrophe here, for heaven's sake. Lock the place down. Get your mask on. Get the hell in the house and knock it off, you fool. What's the matter for you? Don't you respect the humankind? Can't you pay attention to the laws, the rules? Yeah, right. On top of all of this nonsense, yeah, defund, abolish crime. America's cities. You know, America's cities are liberal cesspools is what they are. Liberal socialist cesspools. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
We join you back here, friends, on The Voice of a Nation, and this is a two-part special series now that we've been talking about doing for a bit here. I want you to understand what's really going on here. And let me introduce now Colonel Warshak, and I want to then start with a quote that he gave us in the last program. So Colonel Warshak is retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence special missions officer, former Deputy Director of Intelligence at U.S. Central Command, and served on the White House National Security Council staff. Now, at the end of the program of the first part, Jim, you had said the following, and I quote, "Now we are dealing with the globalists. We're dealing with the Marxists. We're dealing with the terrorists. We're dealing with Islam. There is so much that we as a nation and this president are going against. It boggles your mind that we're able to stay afloat." This is all part of the apparatus right now, we believe, and putting it right out there, that the socialist Democrats are using to try to create chaos in our nation so that they then can say, Jim, that, well, you see, this president creates nothing but chaos. You see, this president creates nothing but COVID diseases. You see, this president can't do anything. He can't govern. He's incapable. I mean, isn't that the strategy?
Well, absolutely, Malcolm. And everything this president is doing scares the heck out of the Democrats. All the successes he's had since taking office and the promises that he has kept or attempted to keep, despite all these odds that have been stacked against us from day one, from the Russia collusion and the FISA investigations on him and listening in on his personal and individual phone calls, to the impeachment effort and everything we've seen and everything you've talked about. You know, he still has by far accomplished more than most presidents at this point in time in his presidency. And they've reached the point, this is the 11th hour, and they have failed to remove him. And they're going for broke now. This is, you know, in a military terms, we use this thing, the nuclear option. Mm-hmm. This is where they are willing to tear down and destroy America as we know it. And fundamentally, key word, we've talked about it before, and Barack Obama talked about fundamentally changing the nation. Fundamentally changing the nation means communism, plain and simple. Fundamentally changing the nation means communism. People have to remember that. And now we have a Democratic Party that is embracing it. We have movements like Black Lives Matter and Antifa who are openly coming out and saying, we are Marxists, which are communists. There's no mask anymore from the standpoint of hiding who they are. They're revealing it before us, and they are doing what it takes to take down this president politically and presidentially, as we are seeing happening now, the toppling of statues, the changing or attempting to change the history, the different terms being used to stifle and control Americans. This is communism. The cancel culture, which you talk a lot about, where every single thing done in the past, somebody is guilty of doing something wrong, when all it is history pure and simple, the way this country became a nation. They're trying to tear it down.
Yeah, I mean, they're going so far as to rename sports teams, and it's like they want to wake up tomorrow and be an entirely different nation than what our nation at 244 years in it represents. And so President Trump came out on Twitter and said this: the United States of America will be designated Antifa as a terrorist organization. The lamestream media is doing everything within their power to foment hatred and anarchy. As long as everybody understands what they're doing, that they're fake news and truly bad people with a sick agenda, we can easily work through them to greatness. Now, this president is an optimist always. Here's what I find out about this. Now, legal scholars and experts say that President Trump may very well have some trouble classifying the group as a terrorist organization because we don't have a rule or a classification for domestic terrorists. They really only are foreign entities right now that are part of our Justice Department. In fact, Mary McCord, former head of the Justice Department's National Security Division, said there is no authority under law to do this. And if such a statute were passed, it would face serious First Amendment challenges. Right now, the only terrorist authority is for foreign terrorist organization. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think there's a mechanism there, and certainly Attorney General William Barr is working that pretty heavily. I believe in everything, and the things I've read, that's already taken place. Barr has already done his homework on that, and what are the requirements and criteria for doing that, and that's been met. The thing that does with regard to domestic terrorists, labeling a group domestic terrorists, it does two things. It gives, and bear with me a little bit because this is important. One, it allows the president to use the RICO laws or the attorney general to use the RICO laws against Antifa, as they can do. Those are laws based on criminal action, which allows the government to say, okay, we find this group criminal in nature, they're doing certain things, and they can go in and look at all the finances. They can track second, third, fourth party until they find sources of funding and identify those and then take action against them. That's the critical part. This isn't necessarily going in and you know, blowing up headquarters where they may operate out of. This is using the legal capabilities that are within the United States against them. And, you know, we've used the RICO laws against all kinds of criminal organizations that have been, you know, working against America and doing things against American citizens. That's one thing. The second thing is we have 56 joint task forces around the country under the guise of the the various law enforcement agencies at the federal level, the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the U.S. Marshal Service, and what have you, the DEA, we can utilize those if we track down and find that funding is coming from a certain group. Let's say there's drug cartel money coming in funding Antifa. They can utilize those joint task forces to go in, just as they would any other criminal organization, to go after the different types of mob and racketeering events. So that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about, you know, sending Delta Force or SEAL Team 6 in to go after these folks like we do in foreign countries. We're using the laws on the books to do that, and that's what's going to happen. That's how you take down these organizations within the United States. If you recall back in the 60s, we had the Weather Underground. We had various other groups that were incited in the same way by Marxist ideology, and those groups were investigated, and you know, we sent in federal organizations, FBI, what have you, to take them down and infiltrate and do those kind of things. That's what we're talking about here. So I think we have to be real careful on how we explain and what we're doing from the standpoint of the Justice Department explaining what they see as happening. I think they're trying to remain more quiet about it and put some information out, but not necessarily say what we're doing, because these investigations are already going on.
All right, let me talk about funding now, because you brought it up a moment ago here. Now, you point out there are two sources of funds here, the funnel through third parties and direct State Department funds. More or less, those were on the books, others were off the books. The State Department in the United States government, what's the message here with all of this? How involved, I mean, just to the point, how involved were they with Obama in funding what we're now seeing as terrorists on our streets?
Well, what I'm talking about here with regard to the State Department certainly has to do with foreign operations and funding for different types of organizations and groups. And what was going on here during the Obama administration was they were getting involved in regime change and the Arab Spring, which was, you know, removing governments in various countries. We saw that with Mubarak in Egypt. We saw that certainly with Gaddafi and what went on there. And the State Department, under a law called Title 50, gives the U.S. authority to do intelligence operations against foreign threats. In this case, you know, perhaps terrorist or insurgency groups, to conduct activities against them or in other ways support them. And so, you know, we've heard lots of stories coming out of the various investigations that the Obama administration was using Benghazi as a means to funnel weapons to certain groups in Syria. And that, for the most part, were certainly the case, and all
which
this
would explain
done
why a lot of that was covered up.
Exactly, you know, Title 50 allows the U.S. government to do clandestine covert operations, but that all has to be accounted for, and there's means to investigate and audit that, and make sure we're doing it in the name of America, and to save and protect and protect, you know, foreign entities and governments. The Obama administration was using this to funnel weapons into Syria. Now, once you talk about Syria, they had to have organizations in Syria to operate with. And during the Syrian civil war, there were up to 32 different organizations, either supporting the Assad regime, working against the Assad regime, working against other groups within that 32. So you had a massive civil war with everybody on the ground fighting each other. But we, the U.S. government under the U.S. State Department, decided the group we want to support is the YPG,
right,
which essentially is the Kurdish People's Protection Unit, which addresses the Kurds, who we talked about later on, with regard to President Trump abandoning them. These are the Marxist Communist Kurds. Interestingly, Hillary Clinton picked that group to fund, provide support to, provide weapons to, and the Antifa, as we talked about in the first segment of the program, were the ones where Antifa linked up with and integrated with to conduct, you know, their operations inside Syria.
So how does that connect right now to present day?
This connects directly to Antifa. There are a large number of Antifa who are now combat trained and experienced from their time in Syria between 2012 and 17, who are now back part of Antifa in America, and they provide the backbone of experience and leadership to the rest of all the Antifa.
All right, so the group here,
they gain that experience there.
So the group here now, I want to understand. So we've got these trained insurgents on the ground here in America that have this history and experience, which you explained very well in the first part and just now. Now, what I'm guessing is these groups have swept up a lot of others in the groups. In other words, they've multiplied, Jim, probably here in America, I'm sure, because you get a lot of people who want to jump on the wagon here. So now what I want to talk about now is the money that's funding this today. Do we have any idea proof other than just hearsay of how this funding today, how organized all this is? Because the powers to be are calling this random, a lot of randomness, but this isn't random, is it?
No, random is propaganda. That's a distraction. That's a effort to keep people from saying, wow, these guys are hardline communists and they're working for the democratic powers that be to do the things that they're doing on the in the streets of America. The funding now for these kind of things domestically is not coming from the State Department, certainly not, because that would be, you know, that would be been identified immediately by people like Mike Pompeo and others. The funding now for what's going on is coming from all different sorts of groups. I mean, it's coming from American corporations who are coming out and saying, we're providing resources to, you know, Antifa, and certainly there's a whole list of them that have come out and said, we're supporting Black Lives Matter. That's out there open source. Of course, there's other groups. You know, I would go right out and say George Soros, through many of his shell companies that have always provided money and funding to radical left-wing causes, there's money there for that, you know, and providing resources for material for the things that they're doing in their efforts across America.
All right. So now here's where we're at now, friends. Let's kind of keep working this thing now. So now we understand what we've got here. Colonel Warshak has explained where a lot of this Antifa here has been. I mean, Europe, throughout Syria, and how now they have found their way back here to America. And we've talked about the funding and all of that. Now we've talked about the Obama administration. What I want to do now is what I'm really concerned with is more so is, you know, where do the roads lead ahead? We have an election coming pretty fast here. And now how does that work toward this John Durham report? I know Colonel Warshak had mentioned to me on the other broadcast that he thinks by probably Labor Day that we hopefully will have, and we're guessing, we don't really know, it's a guess, that the John Durham report will be out. So what does that really mean to us at that point? And so you see where all these roads are coming together now. It is very interesting how all this is headed. And what I'm wondering or worried about really is how much of this is held off. Anytime you get into a general election mode, they tend to wait. The people who are running the show and the people who are going to make the announcements, they tend to hold that back. We're going to hold that report back. We're going to hold that appointment back. We're going to hold this back. And they do that with the idea that there's another election in play and they're going to leave that to the next or this, whoever the president's going to be or whoever the next Congress is going to be, so on and so on and so forth. You understand? That's how that normally happens. Which is where we had the problem a while back where they didn't want to have the Supreme Court person appointed and the Republicans blocked that. Both parties do it because they want the power. They want to push their agenda forward is how that works. So now we've got a question. How does this all come to a head? What does it mean with the election? And we're at a pivotal moment here. You know, who gets the energy and the gas here going forward? I mean, how does this position the Socialist Democrats and how does it position the rest of us, which is, to me, the rest of us is you and I, we the people. Where are we in all of this? That's, I guess, the questions I have. We're going to pause a moment. We'll be back with Colonel Jim Warshak on The Voice of a Nation.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
We're joining you back here. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, along with Colonel Jim Warshak. AmericaOutloud.com is the site I want you to get over to, and certainly you want to read Colonel Warshak's op-ed. It's excellent. All his write-ins are The Democrats' Secret Battlefield: Trained Insurgents. There is a lot to read in that document to understand and connect with the dots that we've laid out for you in this two-part special series here. Which I have entitled Democrats' Secret Battlefield Election Strategy, because this is really a bigger election strategy we're talking about right now, more than just the trained insurgents piece. That's a component of this, but there's a bigger piece, as I've explained, the COVID, all of the scandals, however many there are. I really truly have lost count. There's so damn many coming, and they're so fast. I feel like, Jim, we're like on the edge of the precipice somewhere. Something's happening here all around us. You no longer have to pinch yourself to because I have people ask me all the time, is this really happening? Like, can you believe this? Like, this is the kind of stuff I get from people, you know? It's like, so you don't really have to pinch yourself anymore to understand that, yes, this is really happening. And if this is what they meant by 2020, perfect vision, God, I'll tell you, we could use less of this, Jim. But we have certainly been pulled at, prodded at, pulled apart. And I mean, we are just, this country is really struggling and wrestling with its future as to where we're going to be. And there are a lot of movement in here with parties. So I see this now as all the factions come together here, Jim. I see here, you know, the one thing I'm worried about and talking about is these reports. I mean, there is a chance. I mean, you made the statement, you thought John Durham maybe by Labor Day, but there is a chance he holds that off until after the election. Or do you think, or is that like never going to happen because AG Barr is going to say you damn well will come out with that now? Tell me.
I firmly believe in everything that I've been researching that we're going to see at least one, if not two, indictments, and that's going to be critical. There's going to be a grand jury stood up, and it's going to do what grand juries do, and I think we'll get one person, and I think that's all this administration needs. To basically say, see, we told you, this is what's really happening. These people were totally involved in a coup d'etat against an elected sitting president. That will open the eyes. That's what scares the heck out of the Democrats more than anything else. That's why they're going after Trump, obviously.
Right.
It's why they're going after Barr. I mean, you're starting to see a lot of things about Barr.
Well, they want to impeach him.
He's corrupt. They want to impeach him, exactly. And then we had a keynote commentary last week or about the week before, okay, where General Mike Flynn's lawyer, Sidney Powell, came out and said the reason John Brennan went after Mike Flynn, for obviously a number of reasons, what was because he knew about the $2 billion that the CIA was keeping off the books and that Flynn was going to do an audit on had he been able to stay on as National Security Advisor. That scares the hell out of him because
thanks
that is...
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, thanks for saying that, bringing up that $2 billion covert funds. I mean, Jim, that's not normal. How do they get to do that? How do they get to do that? I mean, is that normal business?
Certainly not. I mean, this gets into some of the most corrupt activity you could ever find. Certainly there are ways under various titles like Title 50 where we can use federal money that is locked down in under Title 50 for covert and clandestine operations against foreign enemies. We can do that. We do that all the time. But the fact that you have a separate pot of money, not even on the books, where it can't be audited, where it doesn't have to be reported to Congress, that's the real scary thing. Where did that money come from? How did it get there? That's what Flynn wanted to do. Flynn knows about it, and that's one of the things that he wanted to audit. And that's why it's really interesting why Sidney Powell came out a week and a half ago and mentioned it in just a brief statement. Now, it got a little bit of traction, but the mainstream media didn't want to talk about it at all. I think there was one or two outlets that mentioned it, but it was a public statement that she made, and she also put it out on Twitter. So nobody has talked about that, but I'm talking about it, and I want to know about it, and American people need to raise their hand and say, what the heck is this all about? Why is this happening? Why did this happen under the Obama administration? And we need to know more information, and people need to wake up and say, what's going on here?
Now, John Brennan could be one of the ones indicted.
You know, if I could have a say in it, I would say yes, absolutely.
Right.
He, I believe, because of his position and what he's been involved in, was the mastermind behind a lot of this.
Exactly. Now let's take a guess. Who would be right after Brennan? Who's your guess?
I think it would be low hanging fruit. You could probably go after Comey or Clapper.
Comey is, again, low-hanging fruit. Now, let's take that low-hanging fruit a minute here, and let me climb up to the top of the tree and talk about Obama. So, I mean, obviously, you and I have talked about this before on air. I mean, I know it, and we've talked about, well, again, we don't have a history of going after former presidents, so we don't have a history of doing this, but will this country ever really come to realize who this man was? Will history ever really show, Jim, who this guy was and the damage he did? Will any of this come to the light of day? And if these indictments come, how much of that will spotlight and showcase what Barack Obama did and what he was and is to this country?
Well, you know, that is a critical point in why they are working so hard, working overtime on trying to change American history, removing reality, removing truth, removing, you know, history has nothing to do with politics. History is basically documented fact of how things happen, good or bad. If it's bad, you learn from it. You know, there's the saying, you know, those who forget history tend to repeat it. You know, that's what history does. That's what statues do. That's what monuments do. They remind us of what we did. Sometimes it's not good, but it's better to remember and keep in mind what didn't work versus what, you know, what we should have been doing.
Absolutely.
And that is why, that is one of the things that has made America great, because we are not afraid to tell our history.
Right.
You can't go back and correct it.
Right.
You know, you can go back and say we should give reparations or other things. I mean, but this is why in other countries where, you know, communist countries, the first thing they do is they burn all the books. They tear down all the statues. They don't want you to know what happened. And in those cases, these are countries that they tore down what happened before they went communist or before they went Marxist or before they went Nazis. They wanted to hide these countries what they were before that came out. We're here watching them destroy a pretty honorable history. Yeah, we've had faults, damn straight we've had faults, But let's learn from our faults and go ahead better. How are we going to go ahead and be better as a nation if we're getting rid of police departments and we're condoning criminal activity and we're destroying? That's history. Well, yeah, we got to learn from it, but that's not history we want to celebrate, and that's not what America is.
Yeah. So between now and November now, we know what the game is. We know what the stakes are, Jim. There are multiple reasons, I believe, that this is such a major election and why the Socialist Democrat Party have pulled out every possible stop they could pull out, short of what I said earlier in the program. I'm not going to repeat again because it's not nice to talk that way. So what we've got here now is this election. The Socialist Democrats understanding that whoever's going to be president next, if there's four more years of a conservative agenda, if there's four more years of a patriotic American, if there's four more years of Donald J. Trump, what's going to happen is you're probably going to have more Supreme Court picks. You're going to have more judges in the lower courts. You're going to, him and McConnell have been appointing a barrel load of judges here, doing their job effectively is what they're supposed to do. So that really scares the hell out of the Socialist Democrat Party, because now you're getting to the roots of the nation. You're getting to, you know, things that will determine future policies and the way we conduct business ahead. I mean, on every level, abortion, but far more than that as well. I mean, a whole schism of things come into play there. So you've got that. You've got the Obama legacy. You've got this whole, you know, bury the bones sort of thing, Jim. So they're trying to bury the bones. So that's why this is such a pivotal election, like has never been a pivotal election, because this is where the wheels begin to turn. So now we know they've done everything. I'm expecting there'll be some more surprises between now and November. I think the Durham report that comes out, Jim, whenever that comes out, they're going to hit that back so hard. The problem is the media is going to cover for them, as always. It's going to make our job harder here, you and I, and patriots like us who are fighting like hell to get the truth out there. And so it's a struggle still, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. And let me just make one point. There's really not going to be a Durham report. He's going to come forward with indictments. That's where this goes. He's not writing a report. Okay. He is finalizing the warrants, so to speak, for indictments to go to the grand jury. That's what the next step is. And, you know, there's not going to be a report for the Democrats in Congress to argue over and wring their hands over and say we need to do an investigation on this report. There's not going to be a report. Other thing is, you know, this election, it buys time for just what you said, four more years of conservative agenda for this president to fix the wrongdoing. You know, Obama's going to have his legacy. It's going to be what it is. His legacy is going to reflect on what comes out of indictments, what comes out of the rest of the findings. You know, is there going to be an audit down the road of what John Brennan did? You know, what are we going to find out? And I want to just say one last thing. The Democratic Party right now, way I look at it, from everything that has been said and things they did in tweets about a week or so ago on the 4th of July, they have relinquished their right to be a political party in the United States. They are no longer a political party because they don't represent America. They represent the worst of the worst. And I will go so far and say, I'm not calling them socialist Democrats. They're communists, and that's the way they need to be looked at. I'm serious as a heartbeat, Malcolm. We've got to look at them from who they are and look at who is pushing this in that party. Right, we know who is doing it.
Well, maybe we call them the Marxist Democrat Party. I mean, what do you think? Maybe that's the way we need to
do it. I don't even want them to use the word Democrat, because I think they have forfeited that opportunity.
Well, I hear you, but we've got to make them recognizable so the American people recognize it, though, Jim. So you got to keep that word in there. We don't have a choice. But we can add a couple of words to it. I don't have a problem with that. Listen, I've been rebranding them for a while now, and I'm going to continue to do that and beat the drum really hard. What a program. What a two-part program here. Listen, people, Colonel Jim Warshak, this is a patriot. He's been with me from the beginning here at America Out Loud. He really has. We've had a real nucleus of amazing people here, amazing experts that have really been part of this movement and have grown with this platform. And Colonel Warshak is a dear friend and somebody that's been part of this movement, America Out Loud here, and we truly respect him. And as you see right here, the knowledge and the wealth of depth and breadth of information he brings to, I think, the airwaves, and you'll learn from him when he's talking, he's on here. I like what he says at the end there. I have to tell you all right now. I love what he says. Hey, wait a minute now. We're not talking about a report here. You can take that report and wipe it. Well, he didn't quite say that, but you know what I mean. But he did say, yeah, we're not really looking for a report. We're looking for indictments. That's what Durham is charged with. That's a great reminder, actually, because typically he knew where I was going. Typically, we get some report that we can wipe our backside with. And he knew exactly what I meant. He took the words right and said, wait a minute. No. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get a backside wiping. We're going to give you indictments. So people, that's what Americans are really looking for, is just, listen, it's not complicated. We don't need to play politics here. All we want is the God's honest truth. Repeat after me. That's it, people. That's it. We don't need to go far left. We don't need to go far right. We don't need to do any of the such. We don't want any lies. We don't want any bogus claims. We don't want any funny business. God's honest truth. Please give us the God's honest truth. Is that so much to ask? Is that really so much to ask? Right? Just God's honest truth. Come on, people. What's so hard about it? Aren't we entitled to that as Americans? Aren't we really entitled to the God's honest truth? And why have we been so manipulated and used as tools here in all of this? I don't want to use the word sad, because it's not sad. It's disgusting. And your media circles are disgusting. These people are despicable. They make my skin crawl. And the people that are out there who dislike and hate America, they make my skin crawl. Listen, I'm a patriot. I love this country. I tell you that all the time. It's all over my messaging. I love America. I just scream it from the mountaintop, people. I love our history. I love our statues, our monuments. I love our law enforcement. I love our military. I love this nation. I love America. How loud could I possibly go with that? How big of a megaphone is there? Right? I love this nation. Remember this, friends. There's only one United States of America. There is not another one coming anytime soon. I suggest we take care of this America right now. Because that's it. One shot we get at this, it's right now. And so, those are the stakes. This is a godly mission. We represent the good in this fight. And we need you to come alongside of us and help us put that message. That's what matters. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. My ego doesn't matter. Your ego doesn't matter. The rest of them don't matter. All that matters is that we bring this truth forward and we rally Americans around the flag. That's what matters. The mission is real simple. Pull out all the stops, get to the front page of the platform, push the message out there, help us right the wrongs, help us put justice where injustice is, help us rally around the flag, and help us secure and save our beloved nation so that future generations can also live and benefit from this beautiful, beautiful nation. That's what I'm asking you to do out there. That's the rallying call. It's time to get involved and get loud.